You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. It's our Friday moment together.
We have a couple of listener questions. Our first one comes from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. Fed Chair Powell recently commented that Bitcoin is not an alternative to the U.S. dollar because he maintains, like gold, it is not money. He further said Bitcoin only competes with gold, not the U.S. dollar. But the incoming Trump administration considers Bitcoin money and wants to back the U.S. currency with Bitcoin, possibly in an amount equivalent to the gold reserve. Bob, I'm really confused here with the financial math. If Bitcoin is going to $200,000 in the next few months, as financial pundits maintain, then the U.S. Treasury will have to print trillions of dollars to acquire all that Bitcoin planned by the new administration. Wouldn't that result in surging inflation by adding trillions more to the national debt?
Well, it's a complicated question. Bitcoin, I still consider as a very interesting item to speculate in a great financial boom. And like all key items in a great financial boom, it will eventually go unstable straight up and fail. And it's going to be fun to try and catch that. We're looking for this rally to continue strong into January. And as to whether it's money, no, it is an item for trading.
Now, Michael's question goes on to say, wouldn't it be a lot easier just to revalue existing Fort Knox gold reserves to current fair market value or even a bit higher to, say, $5,000 an ounce? That would repair the debt-ridden balance sheet quite a bit and possibly reduce inflation. This Bitcoin plan sounds a bit loony to me, and I'm not referring to the Canadian dollar, Bob. What's really going on here?
Well, you're on to the concept of the gold in Fort Knox. And I have some very important information on that. And it's not widely known, but radon gas in the basement of Fort Knox has turned all of the gold reserve into lead. So there you are. You can never trust radon gas.
Really? That's the chemical reaction with gold?
No, I'm just going on.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how much gold is in Fort Knox. They haven't told us for what, 50 years?
Yeah.
It's just a theory.
I think there is what's the number, 8,500 tons or something. I believe that it is there and intact. And when I go on about radon gas turning it into lead, it's very fanciful.
Well, nowadays anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, weren't the alchemists trying to turn lead into gold? So why not have the reverse process?
Oh, yeah. But the interesting thing on the alchemists is that they only governments. See, the alchemists required funding to do their work on trying to convert lead to gold. And then one of the biggest banks in history out of Antwerp, the Augsburg originally, the Fugger Family Bank, F-U-G-G-E-R.
Sure, better say that right.
Yeah. In about, 1558, they were publishing maybe every 2 weeks or once a month a market letter. And in one of them, they pointed out that only governments will come up for money for alchemists. And this, of course, the equivalent, modern equivalent today, is the high regard for central bankers, and they get their money from governments, and they are modern-day alchemists.
Now, our next question comes from Kathleen, and sight unseen, I can tell you she will bring up some kind of music because she loves to do that.
Yeah.
Happy holiday season, Bob and Jim. As I look at the markets, I think of that French-Canadian song that begins, Alouette, j'entends Alouette, Alouette, j'entends plumare. Well, in this case, here the songbird is being plucked, not fattened. Bob, will the martins fly higher all through 2025?
Will the markets fly higher?
Yes. Will the markets fly higher, as many market commentators suggest in the new year, as the songbird or markets are fed, or fed as in the Fed? Lower interest rates, give us easy credit, stock buybacks, AI hype, replace income tax with tariffs, a Bitcoin-backed U.S. dollar, and unlimited deregulation.
Well, that's quite a statement. On our work, you can often have a very good market into January, and that's what we've been working on. And often within that, if you've got something special going on, it can set a high. We use the example of silver, the crazy silver boom in 1980. And I think it was January 21st when the high was set there. And that was the Hunt Brothers and, oh, God, what an incredible promotion. And then also the S&P set a very important high in January 1973. Memory serves that it was January the 10th. And then you went into a bear market. It was gave up 46% by December 1974. It was very rough times. So this is what seems possible. A good market into January and possibility of finding a bear market sometime as the year progresses.
Yes, because as Kathleen's question went on, are the markets about to be plucked from head to toe by margin calls, geopolitical events, inflation, sovereign debt crisis, and overleveraged consumers and businesses? How much longer will the songbird sing?
Yeah, all of the above.
All of the above. So we have a little bit of a ways to go with the current stock market, and then time to hold on to your hats could be a bumpy ride?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, the wilder it gets going into January, of course, then the more fragile it becomes. So,
well, the skyrocketing Bitcoin, Bob, at the end or at the start of this year, Bitcoin was $42,000. It's now over $100,000.
Yeah.
Your past historical experience when you see something like this, like white tulips, for example, went from being worth a couple of guilders to millions of guilders.
Yeah.
Are we seeing white
tulips
tulip here?
Bubble way back in 1637, and at the time in Antwerp, the authorities, it was the financial and commercial center of the world, and the authorities said that trading was done in the tulips at taverns, and that it was outside of their jurisdiction. So be careful, because contracts may not be guaranteed and all that sort of stuff. So responsible people at the time of the tulip bubble had a good grasp on what was going on. And then it crashed, and there was quite a financial setback in London and Northern Europe. So, yeah.
Well, one of the biggest problems with Bitcoin is trying to find a reliable broker, because we keep hearing about these brokerages that are just fronts for organized crime. They take your money. They falsify. Oh, look at this. Take a look at how much your Bitcoin's gone up in value. But you don't own that Bitcoin. They do. And people are losing hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, all kinds of chicanery going on there. So, yeah.
Is it the usual when there's big money, there's big fraud?
Oh, yeah. And then you have the problem with straight-up markets. There's no computer, because you're talking about skewed growth curves. And even today, there's no computer that can solve a skewed growth curve. And they just go up. So the only thing to do is to look at previous skewed growth curves and understand that they're the blow-off, and often followed by hard times.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, headline from Breitbart, Trump threatens 100% tariff on BRICS if they try to ditch the U.S. dollar.
Oh, yeah, that's a bold one. Well, BRICS, of course, a little group of countries that probably owe more U.S. dollars, and they don't like it. So they've been trying to set up an alternative to the U.S. dollar. And one of the ones I mentioned is Argentina, who owes a lot of U.S. dollars due and payable in New York. So that means they have to sell something in order to get their hands on a dollar in order to meet obligations in New York. And this one is as old as the hills, and it's always the problem of trying to service debt from a weak, lesser currency into a strong senior currency. It is, this one is ancient, and they will complain, and we're really not yet into a full crisis, and it's just, we just don't know how far the U.S. dollar can go in a full crisis, but it got up to 106 recently, the DX, in which case our target becomes 114, and people who are short the U.S. dollar may find it distressful.
Now, of course, some of the people, especially BRICS, will argue the reason they want to get away from the U.S. currency is that it's weaponized. They took them off the international currency exchange in retaliation for Russia invading Ukraine. And if they say they're going to put 100% tariffs on BRICS, well, doesn't that just push BRICS even further towards creating their own currency called the unit? That in off-market trading, even though it doesn't really exist, is worth about $20 U.S.
Yeah, well, the Trump threat with tariffs is basically trying to get Mexico and Canada from sending bad people into the United States. And I believe it'll work. But it sounds like tariffs, but you don't get a real turn to tariffs until you're in the post-bubble depression, and then each country will become protectionist and put on tariffs. So this is Trump gaming the system and trying to force Mexico and Canada into doing the right thing.
Headline from Yahoo, traders defy China's yuan support, sending currency to one-year low.
Yeah, that's right. The Chinese currency is not doing so well. And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Don't they want a low currency to make their exports more affordable?
Oh, they can always get a point of view either way on that one, Jim, as you know. But the problem is they lower their currency too much. That puts too much inflation into locals. So, no, it's a mug's game out there.
Now, of course, the Russian ruble is also in big trouble, and to help support it, they've boosted interest rates in Russia to 21%. Is that an industry or economy killer for them?
Oh yeah, no. The ruble has been slammed very hard, and it's not that the central bank raises interest rates to defend the currency. Yeah. It's that investors are trying to protect themselves and get a better return out of a very risky instrument. So it's market forces that raises interest rates on a weak currency.
Headline from Yahoo, Citadel defies commodity slump to rack up $4 billion in gains.
Yeah, well, they've obviously been playing the right commodities. Yeah, I like that. Because just being straight long the CRB or something like that hasn't been a big plus at all. So those guys in that fund have been doing the right thing, and I take my hat off to them. So, yeah.
From Bloomberg, the Fed's next big policy rethink needs rethinking.
Oh, yeah. I love that headline. It's wonderful, and it was worth capturing for sure.
So what policy needs to be rethunk?
Well, whatever they're thinking now. Yeah.
Well, Bob, of course, they keep saying recession is just around the corner, so let's lower interest rates. Is that going to help?
No. Hmm. No. Interest, short rates, market rates of interest, such as T-bills, they go up in a boom. And then in a bust, they go down and they go down seriously. And now I collect the odd headline here over the last month or so about somebody saying that, oh, rates will soon start to fall and that'll be good. But if you take a chart on history and the S&P and the three-month Treasury bill, well, the pattern is the S&P goes up as interest rates go up. And then when interest rates head down, so does the S&P. And indeed, you can put a chart on, and there are times when the S&P will go in free fall, you know, dramatically speaking. And at the same time, the T-bill yield is falling fast as well. So then you're going to end up with T-bill rates down towards zero, and you're going to end up, well, the stock market's not going to go to zero. But the idea that lowering interest rates is going to help anything is just plain wrong, and it's founded upon essentially intuition. And if they ever looked at the evidence on it, those spokesperson who come out with that, they'd quit in an instant. Well, we've got one from September of 2007, which was a great boom, and there was a spokesman for Harris Trust in the U.S., and he said rates were about to go down, and it would certainly help the markets. I remember that, certainly help the markets. Well, rates did go down, and the stock market went down. It's the way it's worked for hundreds of years.
Headline, global stocks rise to record on panic.
Yeah, there have been some panic buying going on. But it was interesting that if you take an index of all the stock markets, you end up with a global stock market sort of index, so to speak, and it's making new highs. Okay, that's what's happening.
But according to Yahoo, and this headline, Eurozone business activity declined sharply in November.
Yeah, I like to get headlines that say plunging or sharply are always worth grabbing. So, yeah.
Next headline from the New York Times, the furious contest to unseat NVIDIA as king of the AI chips.
Yep, there's another sensational headline, and we'll see what happens.
Well, again, AI, much like the dot-com bubble, people throwing money at anything that says AI, Elon Musk has got an AIX.
Yeah.
And then I also said there's the agricultural AI computer, the AIAIAIO.
Oh, that's funny. I remember one from the dot-com bubble, and you had these stockbrokers in New York making, even Wall Street, making huge money, and they were living, you know, in town, and they go down to the corner liquor store and pick up a $1,000 bottle of champagne for the evening. You know, it was one, buying a $1,000 bottle of champagne was nothing. And the other was that a nearby liquor store carried it. Quite something.
And our final headline, UK uncovers vast crypto laundering scheme for gangsters and Russian spies. Didn't we say that right off the top of the show?
That's the headline, and they included Russian spies with gangsters, but often serious intelligence people in any government are usually quite conservative and probably fairly straightforward people. But anyways, it was a fascinating combination. So that's how that headline got in.
Well, in the Second World War, the Germans were parachuting counterfeit English pound notes into the countryside.
Oh, yeah, the other way around, too. Yeah.
Trying to destabilize their currency. So all's fair in love and war.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah. Bob, a central banker and economist will say that it's very good to inject currency and credit into a market, and the guys who are prosecuting a war know that that's how you destabilize an economy.
Hmm. Yeah. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to chatting again next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.